Turn to John chapter 4 this morning. I'm kind of having a difficult time here getting away from praise and worship and teaching it. Again, I had this thought that it would be a couple weeks that we'd go over this and then do a couple other topics, areas, based on what I call the secrets to really enjoying your Christian life, things that people have let go, things that Christians have allowed to slip. And when I got going in this area of praise and worship, it's become a lot deeper than even when I started. The Lord just came, poured out revelation. I was talking with, I texted Elisa after last week, I guess it was. We were gone last week, yeah. And during the afternoon, I said, how'd service go this morning? And she, her response is often, no matter who's preaching, praise and worship was through the roof. And she said, and her statement just simply was, and that could simply be because that's what we're hearing and that's what God has us in that time for right now, where we're hearing it, therefore it's intensifying. And I believe that. I believe that God's wanting us to understand the power of praise and worship and the power of what we're missing when we become lackadaisical towards praise and worship. Lackadaisical towards the first part of the service. It's funny how in word churches, we've gone from in churches where people will go out during the offering and stand outside and start talking. And then when the preacher starts preaching, they'll stay out there a couple extra minutes to talk a little extra long because they gotta, because then they'll shorten the pastor's message. Pastor, go ahead, preach for an hour. I don't care. I'm gonna only be in there for 45 minutes. But then we became those word people. Those people that understand the power of the word and understand how important and essential the word of God is. And so we try to make our way in here. We try to be here for all the word. But in order to shorten the service down, because who needs a 2-hour service? I was talking to someone. I'll just let the name be left out of this. And they were talking about their church and how their pastor is considered a long-winded preacher. And I said, well, cool, just like me. Now there are longer-winded preachers in Grace Ministries. But I preach around an hour. Sometimes I like to go a little longer than that. So I was like, well, cool. I'm glad somebody else is a long-winded preacher. So they got going on that he'll preach until like 20 after 12. I'm like, wow. That's long. I don't often, settle down. I don't often go 20 after 12, but I've been known to hit that, but I don't know that long. Wow. And then a little more. They say, yep, we know when service starts at 11 o'clock that we're going to be in there for a while. And I just want to settle down, folks. Because our worship is going to go a while. And we make an effort. Steve has, Steve sets, he has a soft framework to work with in time. If he ever needed more, he doesn't need to ask me. He's sensitive to the Spirit and he can keep going. I do Wednesday night. We have a little smaller window because we try to cut everything down. But goodness gracious, we know that on Wednesday nights, if we feel the Spirit moving in that place, we'll extend that a little longer and go a little longer because we want to give Him access. Sunday morning, we extend it a little longer, but we're going to be in here a while. So what people can have tendency to do is that we're going to be in there until 12:30. So I'm going to take a little bit of the worship time off and come in. Again, I'm not picking on anybody in here, okay? If you showed up late today, I just remember the first sermon in this part, this praise and worship. It's like we had two people in here. I think it was Sister Ruth and Beulah were in here, and plus the musicians. And I was like, I don't want to preach on this. I don't want to talk about this. But y'all think we're good today. But when you come, when you think, and you may not think it, maybe it's a subconscious deal, but you come walking a little bit late. Just, it's like, but it's okay because I'll be here for the preaching and I'll be here. You're not understanding the value of what praise and worship is. The very thing that it is. And again, I believe that because of what we've been talking about over here, it actually kind of tells on you a little bit. Now, I'm not saying that if you happen to come in late one time. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about when it becomes a perpetual thing, you're missing, there's something you're missing. You don't have something. I put this down. You're not understanding how essential corporate praise and worship is in your individual life. That it's not an expendable, extra, or unimportant area for you. You're not getting that when it becomes something that is just a opening act or something that is, we're singing songs. It's kind of a pet peeve of mine when people call the worship time the song service. And they may not mean it anything different. This is the portion of the service where we sing songs. Unfortunately, for a lot of churches, that's the magnitude of what it is. But when we begin understanding what we're doing, when we join together in a corporate area of praise and worship, when we understand that, we understand what's going on, beloved, it would be something that you would move heaven and earth in order to get here in a timely manner, to not miss one second of it. To not miss one word, a prophetic word spoken, not one word of knowledge, not one word of wisdom. You would consider that being on time for church as important, if not more important, than being on time for your job. And again, not because you're not going to get fired, but because you might miss something. In John chapter 4, I think we're going to wrap this up today. I was kind of ready to move on, and all week long, the Holy Spirit's been talking to me about the last point that I really wasn't going to spend much time on. And so we're going to spend time on it today. But in John chapter 4, verse 23, it says, the hour come. Now, remember, this is the account where Jesus is talking to the woman by the well, and he's just read her mail. He's talking to her, and she says, "Yeah, our fathers have come to this mountain to worship," and he begins answering that phrase, that term, that we've come to this mountain to worship for years, and he says, "The hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth." For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now again, some people would say, well, Pastor Thad, that just tells you that it's not about where you go. It's about living a life of, it's about worshiping all the time. And I'll say this, is that, yeah, your spirit is always going to put off worship. We've dealt with that area where there's two areas, two levels. Two places you worship. You worship on your own. You worship in the intimacy. I was on my way to church this morning and didn't have anybody else in the car. And I just turned on some praise and worship. And I think this song is one that came on. I believe you'll do it again. And just in singing that, I was getting caught up and getting worshiping Him and loving on Him, just in not closing my eyes, but exerting praise and worship and intimacy with Him. And we've got to have that time on our own. That time on our own is essential, where our spirits are declaring. You're in the middle of stuff, busyness, the things going on in your life, and yet your spirit is singing, "I believe He'll do it again. Move a mountain." And it just begins flowing from your heart. It's got to be a natural part of a Christian's life that your spirit dictates your praise. And that's why we've talked here. But on top of that, you will never experience how can I word this? You're not going to experience on your own the magnitude of what you'll experience in a corporate setting. And you can experience good on your own. When I was doing the study and for the homecoming on Friday morning, I came in just to put in a couple hours here, just to put finishing touches on. It was Thursday afternoon. I came in to type it up so that I would be ready to go. I came in on Friday morning just to spend a little bit of time going through it, praying about it a little bit. But I was sitting there at my desk, and I turned on a song, Flood the Earth. It's a 13-minute song, which tells you that a lot of it's open worship. And I'm typing, and I'm hearing this song, Flood the Earth. I'm pretty sure that was the one. And they're getting to open to worship, and I'm trying to type. And my hands are beginning to I'm not typing well. I'm really trying to focus on my typing. Meanwhile, the atmosphere around me is changing. And so finally, I just shoved myself away from my desk, and I just raised my hands and I just said, okay, I'm not doing any good trying to type and trying to block out what's going on. I just opened up, and the intimacy hit. But as great and as awesome as that is, it doesn't match what happens when I'm in one accord with God's people doing that same thing. Just doesn't match. Doesn't compare. And that's the main thing that we're talking about here in this area. Is that when we come together, beloved, we can get in this mentality of, well, I don't feel like it. I don't wanna. I've never done that before. I don't dance. I don't leave my feet. I don't sway. I don't raise my hands. I don't clap my hands. I don't do that. And what you're doing is you're worshiping what I would just simply say from your soul or your decision maker based on your flesh. You're not worshiping from your spirit. You're not letting your spirit dictate how you'd worship. Well, I just didn't feel the unction to dance today. That don't mean anything. Dancing in the spirit does not mean the spirit takes over and makes you dance. That means that your spirit is in charge of you, therefore you dance. In other words, your spirit man is more real to you. And so the goodness of God is more real to you. The revelation and wisdom and understanding and honor of God is more real to you. And therefore, there is dancing in your spirit that some of us never allow out because our flesh and our soul are more real to us. But I've got stiffness in my body. I've got pain in my body. I've just never done it before. Those are all things that are not according to your spirit. The first thing that we learned in this series, and I believe it is the first thing, I think is one of the strongest things that I had people tell me after I taught it over at the Word Rally was that we worship from the inside out. You don't worship because you dance. Dance is an outward sign, and I'm just using dance as an illustration. Dance is an outward sign of your spirit being in control, of it flowing from your spirit. It is my heart is full of praise, therefore my body doesn't have any other choice. I must dance. My heart is full of praise, therefore I clap my hands. My heart is full of praise, therefore I lift up my hands. My heart is full of praise, therefore I shout with a loud voice. My heart is full of praise, therefore I sing to the Lord. And I'll sing to Him a new song. I was talking to Allison after her first time leading worship. Her first time leading worship 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago I guess it was. She did help me out because I was coming off of a lot of that stuff with the vertigo. And she did help me out, but I knew she was supposed to anyway, and she had put me off all summer, and so this one kind of kicked her in the pants. So we're coming back from vacation. I said, "So you're going to do it? You're going to lead worship this Wednesday for me?" And she goes, "Sure, Dad." But this time, I was well able to lead worship. I just want to give her that opportunity to develop her gift, and she does a good job. But I was talking to her, and I said, after the first time she did it, and I said, "Here's the secret." I said, "It's hard to understand this secret, but where when you're sitting in the congregation, and maybe you're whispering things to yourself, maybe you're thinking things. I'm gonna say it out of my mouth, but imagine it being in my head. Lord, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. You're so good to me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you that you'll do it again. Thank you, Father, what you've done once, you'll do it again." And this stuff is going on inside of you where a lot of, maybe you're whispering, some of you are whispering it, being gentle so you don't talk to it. I said, "Here's the secret when you have to lead, when you lead worship. All those inner thoughts come out. Because you're leading. You're being a demonstration. And that's why I'm loud up here. That's why I sing songs. That's why I do all the stuff I do, is because all that stuff that's on the inside of me comes out." I was spending time this week thinking about a new sound. And I'm not talking about our band. And I was thinking about how I believe this world is missing out on the sound of heaven. And the sound of heaven isn't a bunch of pre-rehearsed songs. Pre-rehearsed songs are cool, aren't they? I like them. I like these songs that we sang this morning, and they're good. Not that we all pre-rehearse it, but that's not heaven's song. Is the song of voices singing songs, their own songs, to the Lord. Have you ever been in a place? We've done it a couple times here, but not too often. But have you ever been in a place where a congregation of 200-300, maybe more, all are just singing a new song to the Lord? And if that don't about knock you down, because it's the sound of angels. It's the sound of heaven. And I could just sense the Holy Spirit saying, "That's what I want my people to do. I want my people to be so open about me, where when they're standing in the midst of a crowd, they're not sitting there thinking about the person to the right or the left or what's going on in their lives, that they're just centered in on me. And they can make noises. I'm not talking about moo. I'm not talking those noises, but they can make those noises of just pure, unadulterated love towards me." And I started getting this picture of this place just being so full of people and bodies, and just as one voice, just singing different songs to the Lord and rising up, and literally the smoke and the glory of heaven just dropping in this place. And that's what God wants us to worship Him from the inside out. Where we're not dictated by how we feel, how we think, but we're just our praise is dictated by our spirit. Hallelujah. It tells us that God's looking for worshipers. I often wonder how many He's really found. I hope He can look at us and say, "There's some." The second thing that we dealt with here is, I got to get to my last point here. The second thing that we looked at is that worship creates an intimacy with God like nothing else. It's an intimate time. So why do we come in here? Why do we need to be in this place? It's because our hearts want to worship Him. We want to worship Him in spirit and truth. We want to be in this place and worship Him the way He wants to be worshiped. That's why we need to be here. Why do we need to be here? It's because when we come in this place and we enter into worship, it creates an intimacy with God like nothing else in our lives can. You can have a great prayer time. You can have great worship on your own. But when you come in as a corporate body, there's an intimacy that happens that you can't replicate anywhere else. And that's what God is longing for in His body of believers, is that intimacy with Him. We went on and we talked about praise wins wars. He wins those battles in our lives. It brings us the victory. God's fighting a battle for us. What's our job? Just to praise. One of my favorite accounts that's given there was when we looked through Jehoshaphat. Because in the simplicity of the directions given to him, we saw halal, which is being goofy and clamorously foolish and celebrating and shouting and hooting and hollering. We saw yada, which is the pumping of the hands, the vigorous raising of your hands. And we saw tehillah, which means singing new songs. So we saw so many different ways just in that one account of Jehoshaphat. But see, God said, you guys just do what you're supposed to do. And I'll fight the battle and I'll win the war. But praise does this. Too often we want to sit around and kind of, let's just sit and just be quiet before the Lord and let Him win the battle. No. It didn't happen. The only place it says hold your peace was when they're getting ready to cross the Red Sea. And what He was telling them was quit complaining. He wasn't telling them don't worship me, don't love on me, don't think about me. He's like, shut up, quit complaining, because I'm getting ready to do something. And the fourth thing that we dealt with here, and this was last week, is just the fact that praise and worship is for our benefit, not for God's. God's not an ego God. God's not a God that needs, if y'all just praise me a little bit more, I'd feel better about myself. God is God. God is good. God is all powerful. God can do all things. We allow Him to do. But praise and worship is for our chains to be broke off. Praise and worship is for us to be changed from faith to faith and from glory to glory. Praise and worship is for us to feel better. And that was one of the main things that we talked about last week, is that God knew what we needed to feel good. And what we needed to feel good was to clap our hands and to raise our hands and to shout and to dance and twirl about and sing. Because He knew it. Amen. I closed last week with a quote from Bill Johnson that said, the only true worship is extreme worship. And only extreme worship brings extreme results. And I really believe that. I believe that that's what we're dealing with here, is that as much as we have, we have good worship, we have good, is there a possibility in any of us that we could take it up a notch? That we could get a little more extreme. See, the more extreme you get, the more it flows from you, the crazier the results become in your lives. And that's what God's after. Now, the last point, again, I don't know, I'm not really sure necessarily how long it's going to take to get through this. It may just take another 5 minutes. I don't know. But the fifth thing, the fifth reason that we need to have this as a priority where we come in here, is because a lot of times when we don't come in for praise and worship, or we take our time, it's because it's been a rough day. It's been a long day. And we kind of are sliding ourselves in. Maybe we're fighting a battle. You know, we've got some aches and pains. We've got a headache maybe, or something like that. And so we slide in a little bit. I don't want to get in. I don't want to exert myself too much. I'm just going to, you know, and so we slide in. And honestly, that's one of the things that you are doing that's wrong. If you can be in here, now let me say it like this. If you can be in here in a prompt manner, you need to be in here in a prompt manner. If you can be in here at all for worship and praise, you need to be in here for worship and praise. Why? Number five, praise and worship can simply be an act of faith. Your praise and your worship can simply be I'd maybe even call it an outflow of faith or an expression of faith. And when you resign yourself from praise and worship, you're not operating in the faith that God's given you to operate in. Go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. We talked about this on Wednesday a little bit. My pants are fitting a little different. So, you may not be able to tell totally yet, but they're wanting to sag down. So I sit down and I keep them up, so I'm not standing on the heels of them all the time. But Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now, a lot of times we look at praise and worship as that activity of the celebration of what we can see. God's been good to me. God's healed me. I praise Him. God's brought financial miracles into my life, so I praise the Lord. We look at what it's done, and so that's where praise flows from. But we understand that what faith is. Faith means I don't see it. It's not currently a good, the right situation. Situation hasn't lined up yet. But I know that He's done it. I know He's done it. I know He's finished the work. I know when He died on the cross, He finished the work. And so by faith, even though I can't see it, faith is evidence. How do we know we're operating by faith? We can't see it, but we believe that He's already done it. So by faith, I'm going to worship Him for what He's already completed 2,000 years ago, knowing that I have it today. And so I'm going to celebrate, I'm going to shout, I'm going to jump, I'm going to raise my hands, I'm going to leap, I'm going to do somersaults, I'm going to swing from the chandeliers, because I know it's a finished work, and I know that it's mine. Healing is mine. Prosperity is mine. These broken relationships that have been around me, they are taken care of because those relationships have been sealed by the blood of Jesus. I know they're mine, therefore I will. Therefore, from my spirit will I worship Him. Think about it. Praise and worship is about magnifying God. It's about lifting Him up. It's about speaking who He is. Speaking what He's done. It's about speaking the Word. Praise and worship should always be about speaking the other side of the mountain. Again, I've told you this before that, you know, there's Steve and I have had many conversations regarding this. I trust him to the point that he doesn't have to come to me with every song. But there's been conversations we've had when he comes to me and says, "I want to do this song, I just can't figure out how to sing it right." But see, that's where we've got to... The words that we sing are essential. If you've got songs that you like that are stinking words, you should don't sing it. A, you're confessing it. I was thinking about a couple. How about this one that we've sung for years in the church? Even religious churches want to change this word, but we sing it. We sing it the way it's written. Just a few more weary days and then. What kind of confession is that over your life? It might be exciting thinking about and singing about the return of Jesus. Praise God that we're going to fly away. Praise God He's coming back for a glorious church. Oh, a glorious church, not a weary church. A healed church, not a weary church. A prosperous church, not a, then we ought not be singing just a few more weary days. Because that's stinking talking right there. Because you are confessing over yourself. You may have all these other confessions in your life that are going through the roof. I am prosperous, I am whole, and just a few more weary days. Are you following me? That's the reason I think a lot of churches change it to just a few more happy days and then. So I guess the Fonz is going to come in soon. I don't know. That was Happy Days reference. For you younger folks, that was a show in the 70s. but see, that you are singing about you're confessing with a, that's why we spend so much time. That's why, you know, you can sit there and say, I don't think it really makes a difference. I had one person tell me, the way your life has been, you've had more of a life where you've not been in drugs or alcohol or any kind of stuff like that. So a lot of those songs that some people write, that they sing, from other people's viewpoints are a lot more real to them than they are to you. And I'm like, but they shouldn't be today. Songs, I mean, I had a, there's a song, a sinner such as I, how wonderful. Now again, you maybe used to be, but you're not a sinner anymore. You're not a sinner anymore. You don't need to be singing songs about what a sinner you used to be. Oh, I was thinking about this. What a beautiful, what just the songs we sang this morning. I sing praises to your name, the name Jesus that's so much higher than all names. Whew. That name's higher than sickness. It's higher than diabetes. It's higher than arthritis. It's higher than cancer. You speak the name of Jesus and it puts all those other names to flight. It's greater. And see, that's a booster. That's a booster of your faith. That is exerting your faith when you're singing. You may feel like this arthritis, this pain, this hurt, this vertigo. It's getting control of me. No. His name is life. His name is expectancy inside me. Expectancy inside me. His name is love. A love that always finds me. Always finds me. What a word. What an encouragement to your faith if you're singing the words. Problem is, a lot of people just sing the songs and like to, you know, do all that kind of stuff. They don't think about the words. There's sometimes I just have to quit singing, not because I don't want to sing those words, but because those words become way too real to me. And I get overcome. That's what worship is supposed to do. Worship is supposed to stir you up. Worship is supposed to display your faith, display what you believe. Oh, we didn't get to those songs, did we? I already talked about Shout Hosanna. I'm chosen, I'm free. Free now forever. Chains fell off, heart was free. See, those are the, you can feel all bound up, all tied up, all stitched up, and you get in and begin singing that. Contrary to how you feel. And your faith is being released left and right. And there's maybe a little part of your soul, a little part of your flesh, man, that was trying to tell you need to stay home. But you've entered in by faith to worship. And it begins changing you at that moment. That's why why the words of songs are so important. Many Christians get annoyed when worship leaders change the words of certain songs or pick on songs. Pastor Elisa, a couple weeks ago, talked about the one thing, dream small, you know, and why would she do that? That was, you know, that's I think she's taking it out. No, what you sing is a confession. Don't take that into your life. Now let me explain this. Let me just say this to you, and I'll move on. I do not believe we need to change every song. Just because we think, I think this would sound better. Because it's not your song. It didn't come from your heart. God didn't speak it into you. And so if you just think something else would be better, deal with it. That's called, you know, stealing. And so we do watch for that. We don't change it just 'cause change. There's a song that we sing where it says, worthy, all the saints and angels bow before the throne. All the angels bow before the Lamb of God and sing, you're worthy of it all. That's it. Worthy of it all. And then it says, day and night and night and day, let incense rise. That's how it's written. But there's people that are like, well, we don't want people burning incense. No, this is a picture. It's called a picture. And in the Old Testament, incense was a type of praise. And so we're singing the picture. And some people will change just because I just want a different word. No, stop it. But when it becomes a bad confession or when it becomes something like that, or becomes just wrong scripturally, it needs to be, go ahead and, you know, because some of those songs are too good not to sing just because of one or two words. Okay, all right. So, all right, I talked about that. So words from the Word are essential when we're praising and worshiping and lifting Him up. Things like this, one of my favorite songs, we just don't do it a lot right now because it's so new, we need to keep it fresh, but our champion, you fight for us, you made a way when there was none. Is there a better song for you to have your faith stirred up in right there? A declaration, our champion's fighting for us, I can rest in Him and I can spend my time loving on Him. Amen. Bill Johnson says it like this. He says, great faith doesn't come from great effort, but out of great surrender. And I like that. Just yielding to Him, doing what He wants us to do, worshiping Him, allowing Him. Okay, your word says to sing. I'm going to sing. My throat hurts, but I'm going to sing. Your word says for me to clap my hands. I don't feel like clapping my hands. In my life, I haven't figured out how hard it is to clap hands, but yet you look at your average church and it's like, okay. Well, I was over at the Word Rally, I guess homecoming. I don't know how many of you, and I don't know if it recorded or anything like that, but on the Tuesday night, Elaine Homer was preaching. And before she preached, she sang a song. And she sang just a good old gospel, pick me up, you know, song. And I'm sitting there. And again, I've been teaching on praise and worship. I've been teaching on the power of that kind of stuff. I've been studying on it because I'm preaching on Friday. And I'm sitting there going, and this is not like me. Anybody that knows me knows I wait for other people to get in. And I'm going, and I'm starting to clap. And I look around and nobody else in the whole sanctuary, they're just sitting there going, and I'm going, and I'm clapping. And finally, my daughter and a couple of them behind me start clapping. And we're the only ones in the whole sanctuary clapping. And I'm going, I want to stand up and say, come on, y'all. Y'all bums sitting around here doing nothing. You got the joy of the Lord inside of you. Get it up. Get it out. You know, I'm just standing. I'm just clapping my hands. I was very disappointed in that. Because it's hard. Pastor Thad, you don't understand. I've used my hands all week. I had to drive here this morning and I had my hands on the steering wheel and now I just need to rest. To get them up this like that and put them together, that's beyond anything I can do. No, it's the enemy's convinced you that you're too tired to clap. That if you clap and someone else doesn't clap, they might think you're weird. See, that's all soulless stuff. That's all fleshly stuff. And if you're in that mentality, you're not in that place of worshiping in spirit and truth. Because He says, clap your hands, most of y'all, some of y'all, all ye people, shout unto God like you've got the victory. You don't have to raise your hand this morning because I don't want to trap anybody into this. How many of you have victory this morning? You say, well, Pastor Thad, I've got this battle in my life. No, no, that's not what I asked. I didn't ask if you had a battle in your life. How many of you got the victory? Because 2,000 years ago, I don't care what your battle was, Jesus died for it on the cross, and when He said, it is finished, He was speaking His end of the deal, and He was just saying, I need someone to line up with what I've already accomplished. I need someone to agree with me and worship me in the midst of the storm, I need somebody to just agree with what I've accomplished. So how many of you got victory this morning? I need Pastor Thad. And I'm going to show it because I'm going to clap my hands. I'm going to raise my hands. I'm going to twirl about. I'm going to hoot and holler. Because I know that 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 this thing is done. It's sealed in the blood of Jesus. And nothing on earth can take it away from me. So I'm going to praise Him. Go to Psalm 71. Pardon me if I preach a little bit this morning. Whoo! I'm excited about my message tonight. I know I heard very specifically from God on it. It's going to be an encourager, I think, to us. Just a commercial while you're turning. Notice what it says in Psalm 71, verse 14. But I will hope, how often? Continually. It's up there, right? I will hope continually. We know what hope means, right? Hope is that earnest expectation, that expectation of what we know is going to manifest. Faith is the substance of things that we're expecting. And we know we have the faith because we haven't seen it yet, but we're expecting it. And he says here, he says, but I will hope continually. I will never get in that place that I'm not expecting God to do something that He's promised that He'd do. I'll never be in that place. I'll never be in a place where the enemy's lies, the enemy's symptoms, the enemy's attacks become more real to me than what God's promised me. I will hope continually. And will yet praise Thee more and more. That got me this morning as I was typing. I had it written down, and as I typed it out, that got me. Because I haven't seen the end result yet. I'm still in that place between amen and there it is. Yet, in spite of that, yet, in spite of the fact I haven't seen the end of it, I'm still in there in the middle. I will praise Thee. And it doesn't say I'll praise Thee, period. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? And yet praise Thee more and more. That Hebrew word more and more simply it means I will not stop and I will increase in that what I'm doing. I've not seen the answer yet. Not in the flesh. I've believed for the answer. I'm standing, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, do what's right, keep standing. I know the answer is there. I know the answer is coming. But while I'm waiting, while I'm hoping, while I'm expecting, I'm going to praise. And the next time I get an opportunity to praise, I'm going to increase it. And the next time I have the opportunity to praise, I'm going to increase it some more. The next time I have the opportunity to praise, I'm going to increase it some more. And I'm going to praise Him more and more. Ooh, say that more and more. Say it more and more. I'm going to praise Him. Say that more and more. Say, I'm going to praise Him more and more. Say, in spite of my circumstances, I hope, I expect, therefore, I will praise Him more and more. I'm not bogged down with what I see. Because what I see changes. What I know is that He has already done the work. Therefore, I will praise Him more and more. More and more. More and more. Hallelujah. Whew. Someone's getting excited. Beloved, you may not know the details of how it's going to manifest, how it's going to happen, but you're going to praise Him more and more, constantly increasing, constantly getting bigger, because you know it's already finished. You know it's done. Several years ago, one of the first word rallies we ever had, a pastor showed up in the afternoon or for the evening service. And in that afternoon, he had decided to do some work in his garage. And something fell on his leg. And actually, he didn't go to a doctor, but it actually broke the leg. It was bent. And he was so frustrated because I think it was the Monday of the word rally. And so he said, I'm not going to miss this. So I'm not going to get it said. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go there, and I'm not going to miss it. So he went there in pain, and he was sitting there during praise section of the worship service, and he's going, this is good, this is good. And he said, he heard a voice inside of him that says, get up and dance. And he informed that voice inside of him, I can't get up and dance. I mean, he was worshiping the Lord. He was just sitting there doing it. And he said, do you believe what you say you believe? He said, yeah. He said, get up and dance. And so he's like, okay. So he got to his feet, pain, all that kind of stuff, and he jumped. Long story short, by the end of that worship and praise service, whatever crookedness and stuff that was in his leg had straightened out. He is in no more pain. The injury wasn't there. He never had to go to the doctor. He never had any repercussions. He was totally healed just simply because he made a step of faith, or made a leap of faith, technically, I guess, and was totally restored because he, in faith, he worshiped. In faith, he praised. Let's go to one more account here. Acts 16. How can we not go to Acts 16? Verse 23. We'll start there. Holy Spirit gave me a couple. One of the things I love about going through accounts in the Word of God that you've gone through time, maybe sometimes many times before, is that God will give you, let you see new things. You know, we went through this account when we were talking about God will fight the battle for you and all that kind of stuff. And the revelation that God gave us in this was that not only were Paul and Silas's chains removed from them because they worshiped, but everybody around them had their chains removed. And the Holy Spirit just revealed to us and talked to us that day about the fact that you may be thinking, I didn't need anything big from God, but the person next to you may have needed it. And your liberty and praise and worship may be the one that actually gets that to them. And what an insight that is that with you worshiping, it's not just for you, it's for the body of Christ. That's why he says, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together, as the manner of some is, as some of them are becoming habitual at doing. Don't do that. Even more so as you see the day approaching, which is this day that we're living in, you need to be in church more. So when people, pastors and all that kind of stuff, want to say church isn't important, they need to reread that with revelation understanding. But in Acts chapter 16, we see they've been ministering. Paul and Silas have been ministering in Philippi. They've been taking care of the little girl that had been used for fortune telling to make money and all that kind of stuff. They get in trouble. Verse 23, It says that when they had laid many stripes upon them. Now notice this. There's that word many, which is a descriptive word that tells you that it wasn't just a few. They didn't just lay, you know, whip them once or twice and have a little sting on their back. They laid many stripes upon them. They had beaten them very apparently as much as they could have possibly beat them. And so after they had done that, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the deepest part of the prison and put their feet fast in stocks. So now we see this. And this is one of the things that I really had. I mean, I did, but I didn't, is that they had been beaten before this. They weren't just sitting there going, you know, having chains in their legs going, dude, this stinks. But at least we can lean against the wall. They weren't leaning against no wall because their back was shredded, lacerated, wide open. You didn't want to lean against the wall, you know, with that dirty and filth and the stink. I mean, they're in pain. Their backs and their bodies were throbbing in pain. So they weren't just sitting there in stocks and bonds, just bummed out because we didn't get to minister today. They're in pain. They're hurting. They aren't just dealing with what's going to happen in the morning. They're dealing with what's going on right now in their bodies. And I thought about that. I thought that's a major part of this story. Because anybody can, you know, praise the Lord when what they're facing is down the road or maybe tomorrow or maybe whatever. Okay, I'll still praise the Lord, you know, because I think God will take care of it. But when it's facing them now, when they're sitting in the middle of it, that really raises it to a different level. So they're in pain. Their backs are throbbing. They're in a stinky, smelly, damp, dark, deepest part of this jail that they possibly had. So it wasn't the luxurious, Ritz-Carlton of jails, of prisons. This was a stinky, smelly, dirty. I mean, they're in stocks. Where did they go to the bathroom at? They did not have the open plumbing, flushing toilets. So even if there was a hole nearby them, they were nearby a hole that had poo in it. Okay? So it stunk. It was not a pleasant place. And they're in pain. They're hurting. And that struck me because I saw this and I thought, you know, because sometimes you can look at the story and sit there and say, yeah, they were just chilling, you know, I could do that for a night. That'd be fine. But they were hurting for certain. Their situation was a little less. It's my sarcastic thing there. Than ideal. What they're going through is tough. And they weren't wrong for what they did. They set someone free. So it wasn't like they're. Verse 25. And at midnight. Now midnight represents in any kind of figurative speaking. And again, I would say that at midnight was when they did it. But it's considered the darkest part of the night. It's considered the dark time where that's why at midnight they did it. They didn't do it at 12:30. They didn't do it at 1:00. They did it at midnight, at the darkest part, when things were the most hairy. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. So they sang loud, didn't they? Now, can I share another piece of revelation that God gave me? I don't know. Maybe you've heard this. Maybe you've thought about this before. There is no record ever that Paul or Silas could actually carry a tune. Have you ever imagined them being in there and then, you know, Silas going do 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 do, and then Peter comes in going woo, you know, and it's just this beautiful angelic medley of worship songs, and they're and you know, they're doing the acapella thing. So, you know, one's going singing bass and, and all that kind of stuff. And it's just a beautiful angelic voice is singing. It is well within the realm of possibility, possibly even probability, that they stunk. Now, we don't know this. We don't know this, but this was something that the Holy Spirit, I got the Holy Spirit, because we don't know how good they were. We don't know that they were good at all. They could have been in two different keys totally. They could have not been remotely close to the melody line. But they were singing loud. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. It didn't matter how they sounded. How many of you all have ever used the excuse, well, I'm just not a very good singer, and so I kind of sing quietly into myself. That hit me. Because that removes some of y'all's excuses for not singing. Too many Christians set their inability to sing well or do other things well in praise and worship. I don't have good rhythm. Now, I'm pretty positive John is thankful that if you don't know how to keep rhythm, you don't sit there and clap really loud. Let me help you, John! But they make that their excuse not to do it. And I just heard the Holy Spirit say, no, that does not clear you from singing songs in the deepest, darkest hour. Doesn't keep you from worshiping the way I told you to worship. All right. Verse 26. And suddenly. Can I offer one more thing to you? It doesn't say how long they sang. It just says at midnight something changed. It doesn't say that they started at midnight, and at midnight, at 12 o'clock they started, and at 12 o'clock and 30 seconds, everything changed. They were singing, and they were praising, and they were praying at midnight, and they may have started at 11 o'clock. They maybe started at 11:30. They maybe started at 10 o'clock. We don't know. It's possible they started close to midnight. It's possible. But it doesn't say when they started. There's another thing I felt like the Holy Spirit said to me is that a lot of times when we praise and worship and things don't change immediately and we get really bummed out because it didn't happen today. That's why it says hope continually and sing praises more and more. Because if it didn't manifest today, guess what I'm doing next Sunday? Bring your earplugs, because I'm gonna give her a little extra oomph. Amen. Just these little tidbits I think are worth. Doesn't say, just tells us they kept doing it until midnight, and then at midnight suddenly. There was a great earthquake. The foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately, all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. We're not talking about a magic potion. Oh, so all I have to do is do this. No, we're not talking about a magic potion. See, here's what happens with faith. Faith is something that you begin growing in. And I don't have time to teach on this. I'm out of time. So I'll do it real, as quick as I can. Faith is like a mustard seed that's planted and then it grows. I have used the illustration that faith is the currency of the kingdom of heaven, because I think it plays better for our understanding, because apostle has used it where how much faith do you need for a certain miracle? Do you need 1 foot of faith, 2 feet of faith, 3 feet of faith? And I get that because it's growing. This way with money, we can understand money because we're purchasing stuff with money every day of our lives. And so how much money do you need to get that thing? Well, your battle may be, Lord, I need to get work off tomorrow, and they never let people get off work tomorrow. How much faith do you need for that? I don't know. But if you're going to see that manifest, the faith is what's going to remove. It's not your confession that's going to move it. It's not necessarily the your joy that's going to move it. It's the faith that's going to move it. And so what you've got to do before you're in that situation is build your faith. So I'm planting a seed and I'm watching my mustard plant grow. And when it gets to how much it needs to be, that's when manifestation is going to come. You with me? I think you understand this. But when it gets to the level it needs to be, that's when the manifestation is going to come for what I'm believing God for. So when you're praising and worshiping, a lot of times you are confessing, you're singing songs where your faith is being built. The confession of your faith is being built. Things are getting stronger. When you're at home, things are getting built. When you get on the level on the inside of you of your faith, that's when things are going to happen. And so like God told that, do you believe what you believe? Well, you know what? Today I may not have the faith I needed, but I took a step closer to it. Jesse and I, when we were saving up to go on vacation, the first little bit amount of money that we had to go on vacation wasn't enough to take care of anything. It was maybe a couple meals on vacation. But every week she went to work. Every week she worked hard. I worked hard. We had other opportunities where people sowed into us. We put that back. We kept working on it until all of a sudden we went on vacation and didn't just have enough for vacation. We had money left over. But we kept building until we were able to get that. Well, that's the way we need to be in praise and worship. This is not just some magic formula. You go, okay, I'm going to praise today and it's going to happen today. Where's your faith at today? Maybe this is the praise service. Maybe this is the time that the breakthrough is going to happen. Perhaps that is. Maybe this is one of those things where your faith is continuing to be built and you're exercising your faith. You're getting stronger in your faith so that your faith plant is getting bigger and bigger and stronger. Your faith account is getting more and more full. And that's why we do it more and more and more. Because there's going to come a time, beloved, where you're going to sing a thing, you're going to shout, and the walls are going to come tumbling down. Amen. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you'd have told me back in the beginning of, I think it was June, that I'd still be preaching on praise and worship at the end of August, I would have said, well, weirder things have happened. But I'm glad God's taken us bit by bit, little by little, just kept us moving through this. Because what insight and what revelation and this whole thing that he's poured out on us. I can't preach this part of the message without talking to you about the man from Brownsville, Texas. He wasn't a part of our church for a long time. He came, I think he was actually a northerner, and I think he was just down there for a season. But while he was down there, he started coming to our church, and he was standing in praise and worship for one of our services. And he was in excruciating pain in his back. The whole time, he just couldn't wait. He was trying to stand to be respectful, but he couldn't wait for it to be over so he could sit down and rest his back because he's in excruciating pain. And now he responded. Now he did respond to the word of knowledge, word of wisdom that came out of my mouth. But we're in praise and worship, and the Holy Spirit just said to me, he said, some people are holding back. They're not pressing in. They're focused on problems. They're focused on situations in their lives. And if they will press in, I'll take care of the situations. I'll take care of the problems. They just need to press in. They need to forget about it, set those things aside and move in. So I spoke it out. Then I continued worshiping. Again, I'm getting so, I'm getting so in to that phrase from Elijah, what do I have to do with thee? I did what I'm supposed to do. If you're going to do it and let's come along. I got done. Nothing was ever said. Nothing was ever done. I preached my message, went on, came back that night, preached the message, went on. I was working in my home office the next morning, you know, doing the offering, all this stuff. And all of a sudden I hear this knock on my door. I'm like, who's at my door? I didn't have a lot of visitors. Look through the peephole and it's this man. I'm like, okay. I said, hey, brother, what's up? And he said, I hope I'm not bothering you. He said, I just got so excited I had to stop by and tell you something. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I like exciting things. Pastors get used to bummed out things, but I like exciting things. So what are you sharing with me? And he explained that yesterday he was standing there in praise and worship. And he said, my back was in such pain. He said, I'd pulled it. I'd done something to it and it was hurting so bad. He said, all I could think about was I wanted to go sit. That's why I knew that first part. And he said, you spoke this thing out. And I said, yeah, I remember speaking that thing out. And he said, so I thought, if he said it, I'm going to do it. So he said, I raised my hands and I closed my eyes and I blocked out everything and I began just worshiping him. And he said, I forgot about my back. He said, I sat down. I forgot about my back. He said, I did all this kind of stuff the rest of the day. He said, this morning I woke up, I forgot about my back. He said, I was driving down the road and I looked over here and I thought, hey, that's where Pastor lives. And he said, that's when I remembered it. He said, from the point I raised my hands and entered in, he said, the pain was gone. He said, I've not had pain since that point. And he said, I just wanted to let you know that I'm healed. My back was healed that moment. And I was like, cool, you know, because sometimes you never find out those kind of things because people stay shy. But it's like, cool, praise God. But see, he entered in. He allowed his spirit to take over his flesh. And guess what his flesh had to do? Had to come in line. Had to come in line. Amen. So when you're feeling like I just need to stay home. And I get it sometimes where you can't, you physically can't. But I want to stay at home because I've been overwhelmed today. Things have been going on today. That's the enemy trying to say, I don't want you to get victory. So whatever you do, don't go to church. And whatever you do, show up late so you're not in worship and praise. So you cannot praise by faith and you cannot, you know, release your faith. And then he sits back and laughs at you while you think you're making a wise decision. Selah. Heavenly Father, I love you. 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 I'm humbled that you have chosen me to be your mouthpiece. That is an amazing thing. And Father, what even humbles me more and more is that you don't just give me these simple, lighthearted. I like making people laugh and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I mean, but you don't give me these just simple, lighthearted, 3-point messages that make it really clean and clear and have a nice beginning and nice end. Sometimes my messages get messy, but one thing that they are is they're life changing. If the body of believers will take it, will receive it, they'll change their life. They'll change it forever. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm humbled for that. I'm humbled, Father, that you've found me faithful to deliver the very oracles of God to this group of people. Because this is not a shabby group of people. This is not a low level, this is a high level group of people, and you've blessed me with this privilege. And Father, this morning, as I have delivered this word of faith, I've delivered this word of life, and I have given insight and revelation towards, in this area of worship and praise, just another step in that area. Father, I pray that this group of believers will grab a hold more tightly than ever before to the revelation that coming into praise and worship, sometimes it just simply is an act of faith towards my situation. And no matter what my situation is, no matter how dark, no matter how hairy, no matter how frustrating, no matter how much it stinks, if I will praise you, if I will continue in hope and praise you more and more, my situation will turn around. Life will be breathed in to my situation. My manifestation, my expectation will come forth speedily because of the faith that I'm operating in. I love you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name.